We're holding on Menhei Amud Aleph, last words. We learned in the Mishnah Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Ben Manas about when you have the Shtei Alachim on Shavuos, and you have the two Kvasim, the two sheep that are brought as a Shalmei Toid, as a Shalmei Tzibur, together with them, as Shlom Mera Tzibur, as we're going to learn now, they're waved together while the sheep are still alive, and then the sheep are shechted, and then that officially makes it that now these are the Shtei Alachim, and they have the full Kisha of that. So we had a Machlokas in the Mishnah, what if you only have the bread, what if you only have the two loaves, or what if you only have the sheep? Which one is ma'ak of the other? So Rabbi Akiva said the bread is ma'ak of the sheep, meaning you must bring the bread. If you don't have the sheep, the shalmei tzibur, then fine, then you do without. But you can't bring, according to Rabbi Akiva, you can't bring the sheep without the bread. According to Ben Nanas, it's the other way around. Ben Nanas brings a proof from the way it was in the Midbar. Reb Shimon answers that that I disagree with Ben Nanas' premise. We talked about previously in the Gemara, another reason why Rabbi Akiva and Ben Nanas argue is based on how to learn Gzeira Shavah. In this connection, by the way, an interesting side point, the Remez in this set of Akiva is saying that the bread is the most important thing. The Shein Mishmuel explains that in a deeper level, the bread represents the Torah, and the kvasim represents the kvasim or an animal korban from which you bring the blood, as usual, with an animal korban. So it represents Ava and Yira. So the machlokas is which one is the more essential one? So Ben Nanas and Reb Shimon hold that the kavana is the most important thing. In fact, Reb Shimon is the author of the Zohar, and the Zohar all over the place talks about the importance of kavana and mitzvah. Therefore, he holds that the sheep are the main thing. And if you don't have without sheep, he holds you can't bring bread, because without Adam Yira, what good is you learning Torah? As opposed to Rabbi Akiva says, you know what, the main thing is learning Torah. You do need Adam Yira, but as the Alter Rebbe puts it in Tanya, based on Torah on Zohar, the Avav and Yira are like the wings that make a mitzvah, that make learning Torah or doing a mitzvah fly up to Hashem. So a bird without wings can live, but wings without a bird aren't anything. So therefore, he says that the bread, the learning Torah, is the more important thing. You don't have the kvasim representing Av of a Yira. Fine, learn Torah anyway. Mitzvah shalor l'shma balik. And then he goes on to explain further on in our Gemara. We're going to talk about that even when that we're going to talk about even when you do bring the kvasim, the lechem without the kvasim, according to Rabbi Akiva, you end up having to burn it. So nevertheless, the Shem Mishmuel explains that fine, it still means it's burnt, but then you still have the ashes of it, and Hashem is able to, and Hashem is able to make of those ashes, to extract from it the kedusha. So therefore, ultimately, learning Torah, even without Adam the Yira, then it comes out according to that as the most important thing. All right, so now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Hakol Moedim, both Rabbi Akiva and Ben Nanas, and the Shimon, who agrees with Ben Nanas as far as the halacha, even though he disagrees with him on the reason, so all of them agree, Shem Huzkuku Zelazeh, that if the Shtei Alechem and the Kvasim are tied to one another, when they were together, and then one of them was lost, then the ma'akim zeh, then they are ma'ak of one another. Then the other one would be puzzled. You wouldn't bring one of them by itself. The ezri zika shalahem, and what do we mean? What is considered the zika? What is considered the connection between them? Shchita. That would be when you shech the shtei kvasim. Then at that point, that's what kevea them together. So if you had the lechem, the shtei lechem at the time of the shchita, and then afterwards the bread was lost, or either the bread or the kvasim was lost, then the other one has to be brought. So the whole machlokas was only when you didn't have them together, when you didn't have them together in the first place. Tosfos has a long discussion over here about this whole business of them being interdependent like that, and comparing it and contrasting it with a todo, which we're going to talk about further on the Amud, and is it in fact always the case that it has to be lost? Is there ever a case when you can be todo? And Tosfos goes into a whole discussion about the ins and outs of that. So the Gemara says, Omar Ola, Bobama Rova. However, Ola says, they asked in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, Knufa Osazika or Ena Osazuka or Ena Osazika. What about the Knufa? What about the wave them together? First you take the Shnei Tvasim and you wave them together with the Shnei Alechem. We'll learn about that in more detail later in the Masechta. Then you take the Shnei Tvasim and you shech them and things continue from there. So all of a sudden they asked in Eretz Yisrael, what about the Knufa make that connection between the two of them, such that if one of them is lost, then the other one has to be burnt? Or does the Knufa not create that Zika, and only the Shechita does? Okay, what kind of a question is that? We should answer it based on what Rabbi Yochanan said. We just said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shechita Oysa Zika. Rabbi Yochanan says that it's the Shechita that creates that connection. Miklal, the Knufa Eina Oysa Zika, which implies that the Knufa does not. And by the way, most of the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael during that period were Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. So if Rabbi Yochanan said that, then what do they ask them? The answer is, Rabbi Yochanan gufa kamei boyolai. The point is that within what Rabbi Yochanan himself is saying is what the Bnei Eretz Yisrael had the question about. Is it when Rabbi Yochanan said that the Shechita makes the Zika, Nifshach Shechita loy the Rabbi Yochanan, is it that Rabbi Yochanan knows it as a given fact that the Shechita Oysa Zika, that it's Dafka the Shechita that creates that connection, or Tznufa Eina Oysa Zika, and that the Tznufa does not, and therefore he doesn't say Tznufa, therefore he doesn't say Tznufa makes the Zika, because he knows for a fact that it doesn't. Oytuma, Shechita Pshitulay, Tznufa Masakulay. Maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan mentions Shechita, because he knows for a fact that Shechita is what creates the Zika, but he's not sure about Tznufa. So in other words, he didn't want to say Tznufa because he himself wasn't sure. So what do we know? Definitely by a certain point, the Zikr is created is by the Shechita. So now the Bnei Eretz Yisrael were analyzing what Rabbi Yochanan was saying and considering whether there's that possibility. So the Gemara says, "Tefu, we have to leave it open. We can't be sure." The Rambam in fact paskens that it is the Shechita that makes the Zika and not the Tznufa, because we're leaving the question open whether the Tznufa creates it or not. Okay. So we want to ask what's the question in the first place? Amalei Rav Yehuda bar Chanina, but Rav Huna b'Rebbe Rav Yeshua. How could we even have a question whether it's the Tznufa or the Shechita that creates that connection and that makes it that now they're interdependent, and both Rabbi Akiva and Ben Nanas are going to hold that now if one of them is lost, then the other one is possible and has to be burnt. We learned yesterday that where do we learn the whole concept that they're interdependent? So we said because the Pasuk says Yiyu, Kodesh Yiyu Lashem Lakoyim. And we talked about then we had Xeder Shulini, and we talked about this Xeder Shava, Ben Nanas holds the other part of the Gzeira Shava is a pasuk in connection with the Kvasim, where it says Yiyu Oyla Lashem, and Rabbi Akiva holds the other end of it is a pasuk, is the word Tiyena, talking about the Shtei Alechem, but we're learning from the word Kodesh Yiyu Lashem Lakoyim, and V'Hokik Ksiv, Kodesh Yiyu Lashem Lakoyim, Basa Tznufa Ksiv. And where does it say those words? It says after the Tznufa. The pasuk says he should wave them together, Kodesh Yiyu Lashem Lakoyim. So therefore, so doesn't that mean, Upligi Ben Nanas and Rabbi Akiva? And yet Ben Nanas and Rabbi Akiva argue which one is ma'akiv the other one. In other words, that there can be that even at that point, they still hold that one of them requires the other, but not vice versa. According to Rabbi Akiva, the bread is the most important, according to Ben Nanas the Tvasim. And that pasuk that they're both learning from one end of the Gzeira Shava is after the Tznufa, implying that even after Tznufa, they still hold that there's no Zika yet. So what's the question? Well, the Gemara answers back, well, then according to your Svara, that you're focusing on the Seder of the pasuk. Well then, wait a minute, Basa Tznufa v'loy Basa Shechita. So what do you think? Those words, Kodesh Yiyu Lashem Lakoyim, are after the Tznufa and not after the Shechita? No, because previously the pasuk has already described. Obviously, when we say Kodesh Yiyu Lashem Lakoyin, that's holy to Hashem, and it goes to the Koyin, as we learned yesterday, it belongs to Hashem, like any other korban, and Hashem grants it to the Koyin. When is that? In particular, that refers to the Shtei Alechem themselves. When do they become for the Koyin? Only after the Shechita, because everybody agrees that without the Shechita, you haven't completed the process of making the Shtei Alechem look good. So therefore, so the Kodesh Yiyu Lashem Lakoyin, yes, it's in the same pasuk as Tznufa, but the fact is, when you consider the order of things, of necessity, it's also referring to after the Shechita. So what would you say? You're certainly not going to say that Ben Nanas and Rabbi Akiva are arguing after the Shechita, whether both of them are necessary. You have to answer Me'ikra Koy, even though the Pasuk is saying Yikodesh Yul Hashem Lakoyen. Nevertheless, it's referring to what came earlier, so it's referring to what came before the Shritta, even though only after the Shritta does it really become Lakoyen. Or my Kodesh Yul Hashem Lakoyen. So what does it mean when it says that they will be holy for Hashem for the Koyen? All it means is Dovash Asoy for Lakoyen. It means that we're talking about that it will eventually become the Koyens to eat after the Shritta. Well, once you understand that, Hochanami, Dabash Sofa Lakoyan, the same way when it comes to the Tnufa also, Kodesh Yul Hashem Lakoyan is not necessarily referring to after the Tnufa, even though it is indeed written in the Pasuk after Tnufa, because maybe all it means is, in other words, that there's going to come a point when this thing belongs to Hashem fully, and therefore is granted to the Koyanim, but when that point will be, whether before, and at that point, we'll say that Yiyu teaches us that they're both interdependent, and it must be that way, you must have both of them, or the whole thing is possible. Maybe that's after Tnufa, maybe before it, and therefore there still is room for the question of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara asks, fine, but the Shchita Ois Zika, fine. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the Shchita makes a Zika. So okay, we don't know clearly whether Rabbi Yochanan means only the Shchita does and not the Tnufa, or whether he means the Shchita definitely and the Zika, I'm not sure. But let's ask though, does the Shchita in fact create that Zika, create that interdependence between the two of them so that, you know, such that at that point everybody's going to agree you need both of them or the one remaining one is possible? Is that in fact so? Udamini, I have a contradiction from a Braisa about a Korban Toida. A Korban Toida is similar to the Shtei Alechem in that regard, in that they also, you have an animal Korban, the Toida itself, and then it comes with 40 loaves of bread, 10 each of four types of chalas. We'll learn about them in more detail later in Ar Masechta and the Ayins. So they have the same kind of thing, where when does that bread get the full kedusha of the korban? Only when the korban, when the korban is shechted. So Braisa says, ad shelo shochta nifras lachma, if before he shechted the toida, the bread was broken, and therefore, so that means, in other words, at the time when the korban was shechted, then the bread was already broken. And as Rashi points out, the bread of the Toda, like the Shtei Alechem that we're talking about over here, is going to become kodesh only when the accompanying korban is shechted. We learn that from the Pasuk. Rashi also points out, though, that we're going to say that they're possible, but we're going to say that all 40 loaves become possible, but Rashi wonders why. Why should one of the 40 breads getting broken too early, why should that pass all of them? So Rashi says, apparently because we're learning from the Lechem Aponim. Because the Lechem Aponim is also a type of mincha. Rashi uses the expression that it's minchas toida, which is a little hard to understand. But the Lechem Aponim is not a toida, so the Shittim Kovetzes correct them, and certain Kodshim correct it to their mincha kilachme toida. They're a mincha just like the bread of a toida. So, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, if even one of the Lachma Panim breaks too early, then all of them, before they offered the Bazichim, then all of them become possible. So therefore, Rashi says apparently it would be the same thing as far as the bread of the Torah. So now, if one or more of them broke before the Korban was shechted, and now therefore all of them are possible, so the bread at that point has not become kodesh yet, because again it only becomes kodesh when they shech the korban. So fine, yavi lachem acher, bring other bread, bring new loaves of bread. So Rashi is saying, in other words, that all of them become possible, and you would have to start off with a whole new batch of 40. The Ravid actually argues and says that the rest of them are not possible. You wouldn't have to. You just have to replace the one missing loaf. Anyway, so you bring other bread, all 40 loaves according to Rashi and the Rambam, and then one loaf or however many you need according to the Ravid. The Shulchan, then you shech the Torah, and everything is good from there. Misha shochta nifras lachma, what if after the korban was shechted, but before the blood was sprinkled, then one of the breads was broken? So now the problem is that now you can't replace one of the breads anymore, because again, they all became kodesh when the korban was shechted. Now it's too late to replace any of them. So, hadam yizorek, so the blood of the korban will still be sprinkled. Rashi says it will be sprinkled, having in mind that it's a shlomim, not having in mind that it's a toida. In other words, because at this point you can't really consider it a toda anymore because you don't have the proper bread. Tosfos further on Mem Zayin Amud Beis discusses would you in fact shecht it as a toda? Tosfos ends up saying the same as Rashi. There's no such thing as a toda without lechem, and therefore of necessity we're going to have to shecht it as a shlomim, because as the Gemara is going to say further down on the Amud, a toda is basically a subspecies of shlomim. And then on the other hand, various Meforshim on the Rambam understand him to be saying that you would still have in mind that it's a toda. So you still sprinkle the blood. The meat of the korban can still be eaten. It didn't become possible just because the bread broke. However, you're not yotze the korban, because the korban needs bread, and here you have some, and here you have the bread is possible. So va'alachem possible. So the bread itself is possible, and you're going to have to bring another toida with new bread. What about nizrak adam? What about if the blood was sprinkled and then one of the breads broke? Then there's no problem. The bread is kosher, because once it was shechted, then the bread becomes kodesh. And now at that point, if one of them breaks, we don't care. But the only thing is, when it comes to the toda, we have to take one of each of the four types of bread and give it to the kohen. So in this case, toda min hashalom al haporos, you have to give the kohen a whole loaf. It's not the kavod to give him a broken loaf. So therefore, you have to give him one of the whole loaves, and have in mind that that also is on behalf of the broken ones. So far, in other words, we see that the key thing is before or after the korban was shechted, and then before or after the korban was sprinkled, before or after the blood was sprinkled. Then the braisa continues. Ad shalei shechta yotza lachma. How about if after the korban was shechted, the bread was taken outside the wall of Yerushalayim? Now, the toda is kodshim kalim. It can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. So therefore, the bread can be anywhere in Yerushalayim at the time of the shechita. But if it's taken out, so if it was before the korban was shechted, no problem, machnisa, then you bring it in, and it hadn't yet become kodesh, so there's no problem bringing it in. V'shechet, then you shecht the korban. Misha shechta yotza lachma, but if after the korban was shechted, one of the breads was taken out, and again, all of them become possible, because they're all interdependent. Same thing, hadom yizarek la'abasa yachol, you still sprinkle the blood of the korban, you still eat the meat of it, v'idei nidre la'yotza, however, you're not yotza, you're neder, and you have to bring another toda, v'alechem possible, and the bread is going to be possible. Nizrak hadom, if the blood was sprinkled, and then one of the loaves was taken out, then the rest of the bread that was still inside Yerushalayim will remain kosher. And again, Torah Mimasha Bifnim Al Shabachutz. You'll take one of each type of loaf and give it to the Kohen, having in mind also the ones that are outside, even though at this point those are possible. So basically, in other words, the same din as when one of them was broken. Tosfos points out those reasons, the Braisa is being very wordy over here and giving the details and going blow by blow through all the details of each of the three cases where the bread was broken, where it was taken out of Yerushalayim, or the next one is going to be where it became Tomei. Tosfos points out evidently there must be a reason why we need all of them. We couldn't have derived one from the other. Anyway, then you have the third din. Similarly, actually shocked the nitma lachma. If one of the chalos became tome before the korban was shechted, same thing. Maybe lechem achav shechet, bring other bread and shecht it. Mishael, again, according to Rashi, the pashtus, all of them, and according to the Rambam, just the one. Misha shechta nitma lachma. If after you shechted it, the bread became tome, hadom yizarek v'abasa yachol. Same thing. You still sprinkle the blood. The korban itself is still perfectly kosher. You still eat the meat because it's still perfectly kosher to korban. V'idei nidre yotza. This time though, you are yotza, you neder. And the reason is shatzitz meratza ala tome, because it sits makes acceptable something that was tome, as we learned earlier in the Masechta and as mentioned in various places in Shas. So the fact that even though one of the breads became tome, nevertheless the tzitz allows us to consider as though it was acceptable, not to the extent of actually eating it, but to the extent that the rest of the bread remains kosher and your yotze, your korban. Tosfos though objects because the dry continues. Alachem posel, that bread though is posel and also to eat. So Tosfos objects, if the bread is posel, then that means the tzitz did not help for it. So, So instead, Tosfos prefers the Gyusa V'Nedin with Loyot. So instead, Tosfos says the correct Gyusa should be like in the previous two cases, he's not Yotze his Neder because one of them became Tomei before the blood was sprinkled. And Nizrak Adam, once the blood was sprinkled, then one of the breads becomes Tomei, no problem, you can still eat the rest of them, Torim and Atahar ala Tomei, then you give the Koyim's portion from the Tahar ones on behalf of the Tomei ones. And we don't care about the words that some of them are Tomei, just like we didn't care that some of them are outside the Azara or that some of them were broken. Okay. Now that we went through this whole Braisa, so now the point we brought it in was to ask a question on Rabbi Yochanan. The Isaf that Shchita Oisah Zikta. If you tell me that the Shchita, which Rabbi Yochanan said about the Shtei Alechem, that once you Shech the Shnei Klosim, then it creates that Zikta, it creates that interdependence between them and the Shtei Alechem. And as he said at the top of the Omud, that everybody would agree at that point, if one of them is gone, then the other one becomes possible as well. If you're going to tell me that it's the Shchita that makes that Zikta, well then, in the case of the Korban Toda, Kivin Dehuzkiku Zelozeb Shchita, once they're tied to one another via the Shchita, if Solei Lechem, if the bread becomes possible, Ti possible Nami Toda, then the Toda itself should be possible as well. Because, in other words, the same way as Rabbi Yochanan is saying that once you shechted the Shnei Kvasim, if one of them, either the Kvasim or the Lechem are gone, then the other one is gone. Well, then by analogy, with a Toda, it should be the same kind of thing. Once the Toda is shechted, if now something happens to the bread, then the Toda itself is forfeit and is forfeit. And yet we don't see that. So how does that fit with what Rabbi Yochanan is saying? The answer is Shani Toda the Rachmana Kaya Shlomim. The difference is because of Toda, the Toda calls it a Shlomim. When the Toda first introduces the Korban Toda, it calls it Todas Shlomim. Actually a few psukim earlier as well. It says V'zos Tzara Zevach Shlomim. This is the rule of the Shlomim and for confessing Imal Toda Yakrivenu if he's offering it as a Toda. So we see that a Toda is considered a subspecies of Shlomim. So therefore, mash shlomim craven below lechem, and just like a regular shlomim is brought without bread, because a regular shlomim you don't have any bread that accompanies it. I've toda craven below lechem the same way you can have a toda that's brought without bread. It's not a fully valid korban in the sense that we said that you do have to bring another one, but nevertheless it's still good enough that we can shech the korban and it's not going to become possible just because the bread became possible. As opposed to the Shtei Alechem of Shavuos. Now, Tosfos points out that the Shtei Alechem are also called, the Korbanos with the Shtei, the Shnei Kvasim with the Shtei Alechem are also called Shlomim. They're called Shalmei Tzibur. But, first of all, the difference is those are Kodshei Kodshim. A regular Shlomim and a Toda are Kodshim Kalim. The Shalmei Tzibur that are brought on Shavuos are Kodshei Kodshim. So it's a whole different kind of thing. And also, those are over the Tzibur. And up until now, we're talking about Shlomim and Yochid. And therefore, Tosfos points out those are two reasons why we can't learn one from the other. Another point that Rashi would take the view. The reason is because again, a toda is called a shlomim, even if it doesn't have bread. Whereas when it comes to the shalmei tzibur, we never find them called shlomim without bread to accompany them. So for all those reasons, therefore, we have reason to distinguish and to say by the Shalmei Tzibur, in fact, they're not going to be kosher once the Korbanos were shechted, and possibly, as we said before, even once the Tnufa was done, that at that point they become interdependent. There's a zika between the kvasim and the lechem, and if one of them is possible, then the other one, or otherwise lost, then the other one is automatically a goner, as opposed to the Toda, where we don't have that tight coupling because a toda without bread is still a shlomi. Okay. So let's analyze more about these different ways of looking at what the dinim are. So again, to recap so far, what we have is, first of all, we have the machlokas and the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva and Ben Nanas. Which one can you bring without the other? The kvasim without the lechem according to Ben Nanas, the lechem without the kvasim according to Rabbi Akiva. Then we had the whole point that we just developed that once something was done with the two of them together, then they become interdependent, and now if one of them is possible, so is the other. And we said Shchita for sure does that, and we have the question whether Tnufa does that. Well, now let's figure out some corollaries of that, says Rabbi Yirmiyah. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah, in Timtzel Loimer, if you're going to say, now let's go back also that we said the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael weren't sure whether Tnufa creates the Zika, the waving of the Shnei Alechem together with the Shnei Kmasim, or whether it's only the Shef of them. So, in Timtzel Loimer, Tnufa Oysa Zika, if you're going to take the view that it's the tnufa, the waving itself together, that creates that zika. And now at that point, Rabbi Yochanan's din kicks in, which is that if one of them is lost, then the other one has to be, and that is possible as well. If you're going to say that, then obviously, ovad lechem, ovdu kvasim, ovad lechem. Then obviously, it's going to be interdependent to the extent that we're saying that if the kvasim are lost, then if the bread is lost, then we have to also lose the kvasim and start all over with new shea lechem and new kvasim, and vice versa, if the kvasim are lost, then the lechem will be lost as well. Because if you're going to say that once you did the tenufa, they're interdependent, so now anything that happens after the tenufa is going to affect anything that happens with one of them is going to affect the validity of the other one. And furthermore, continues Rabbi Yirmiyah, the imtim tzolana tenufa eina oisazika. On the other hand, if you're going to say that tenufa does not create that zika, and at that point, if one of them is lost, then we just have to replace that one, well then, then we have to ask, Kevi lechem ukvasim. So what would happen if, to begin with, we had shtei lechem, we had shnei kvasim, and vahunfu, and we did the tinufa like we were supposed to, va'ovad alechem, and then at that point the bread was lost, v'hevi lechem acher, and now he brought other bread, oisa lechem, ton tinufa, ton tinufa. Do we need to do a new tinufa with those new loaves of bread together with the kvasim? In other words, the point is, it actually points out the way of looking at it after all, because then those new kvasim would be the matirim for the shtei lechem. Once those two kvasim are shechted and the blood is sprinkled, then the shtei lechem will be mutter to eat. And the pasuk does say, v'hein yifoisam, so you do need to do tinufa. The question is it good enough that you did tinufa with the original breads and the kvasim, where now, though that bread is lost, or do you need a new tinufa? So the Gemara points out, Ovdu Kvasim Loi Tziborilach. Now, if the case is in that case that Rabbi Yirmiyah is just talking about, if it was the Kvasim that are lost and you have to replace the Kvasim, Loi Tziborilach, then there's no question. Devadei Boi Tinufa. There's no question then that they're going to need Tinufa, because again, those Kvasim are definitely the Matirin, and they need to be waved together in order to start establishing that connection between them and the Shtei Lachem, in order that then their Shchita and the sprinkling of their blood will make the shtei lechem mutter to eat. But the question was, ki tziborilach, Rabbi Yirmiyah's question would be, ovad halachem, only if the bread was lost and you had to replace the bread. So you have to replace the bread, so therefore the question would be whether you need tinufa or not, with the new bread and the old kvasim. Tosfos points out that here also there would be a difference between that and a toida with its bread, where if, for example, a person designated an animal for a toida, and they designated these are going to be the breads for it, if one of them is lost, you don't need the other one, but you don't have tenufa with a toida, you don't have tenufa, so therefore you don't have this concept, so therefore you don't have the question of whether you need tenufa or not here. When it comes to the shtei lechem and the kvasim, where you're supposed to do tenufa, By Toda, do you have tenufa? I don't remember. Anyway, the point is that Tosfos says it's different when it comes. It's different by a Toda. Fine. So now, furthermore, continues Rabbi Yirmiyah, Valibid the Benanas Loiti Boilach. Now, if we're dealing within Benanas' opinion, then we wouldn't have a question at all. Da'oma Kvasim Iker. After all, Benanas had said in the Mishnah that the Kvasim, that the sheep are the main thing, and they're Ma'ak of the bread. So now, you already wave these Kvasim together with one set of loaves. So therefore, there's no question, according to him, that there's no need to wave them again with the new ones. You wouldn't need to wave anything. In fact, the Karen Oda points out, you're supposed to wave them together. If you wave them separately, then you're still Yotzeh. But here already the Kvasim, according to Benanas, are the main thing. And they were already waved with the first set of Lachem, so therefore you wouldn't need to do any further waving, not even with the second bread. But Rabbi Yirmiyah says, my question would be, according to Rabbi Akiva, Dama Lachem Iker, where he says the bread is the main thing, and if there's no bread, no kvasim, Well then, so do we say my, so then what would be the din? Kiven the lechem ikur boi tznufa. In this case, when we're talking about we replace the lechem, and it's the main thing, therefore it should need a new tznufa. Or given that the shtei alechem need the kvasim to be their matirim, only when the kvasim are shechted and the blood sprinkles, only then does the shtei alechem become mutter for the koyanim to eat. So and they were already waved together. Maybe we don't need a tznufa for the new bread. And the Gemara says, "Teiku, we leave it unresolved." Okay. So the Gemara continues. Omalei abaya l'rova. Now, so let's talk about in the Mishnah, we mentioned like this, when it comes to the Shtei Alechem, there's a whole bunch of korbanos that are being brought along with the Shtei Alechem. We said there's a whole bunch of korbanos that are listed in Chumash Vayikra and Parshas Emor, that when you bring the Shtei Alechem, you bring them. You have a par, two elim, seven kvasim, all of them being brought as oilas, a goat as a chatas, plus then you have the Shalmei Tzibur, the two sheep that we've been discussing all this time. Now, the Mishnah had said that when it comes to all those other korbanos, they're not ma'akiv the bread, and the bread is not ma'akiv them. I mean, we said, if you don't have those, if you don't have that bull and two rams and seven sheep, etc., then you still bring the Shtei Alechem with their accompanying Shalmei Tzibur anyway. And vice versa, if all you have is the Musafim and not the bread, but the Shalmei Tzibur, then not the Musafim, you know, if all you have is the other korbanos, then you bring these other korbanos as well. So Abaya asks why. Amalei Abaya Rava, Maishna Kvasim de Makadji Lechem, why is it that specifically the Shnei Kvasim, the two Shalmei Tzibur, that are makadish the Shtei Alechem when they're shechted, u'ma'akvi, and we're saying that they're ma'akiv and they're ma'akiv the Shtei Alechem. According to Ben Nanas always, because according to him the kvasim are the most important, and even according to Rabbi Akiva, fine, we still have Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that we said before, that we discussed on Amud Aleph, that once there's a zika, once they're huzkuku, zelazeh, they're connected to one another, then one of them is going to be ma'akim another. Why is that the case only with the shnei kvasim, or ma'ishna shiva kvasim, or pyre ve'elim, v'loy mekadshi lechem, v'loy ma'akvi? Why is it that the other korbanos, the seven sheep, and the bull, and the rams, why are they not the Kaddish, the Lechem, the Shtei Lechem, and they're not ma'akiv it. They're all mentioned in the same psukim in Parshas Vayikra. What's the difference? Amalei, so Rava answers, the difference is, because only the Shnei Kvasim need to be waved together with the Shtei Lechem, nothing else. So therefore, all the other korbanos, as much as they accompany the Shtei Lechem, they're not considered part of it because they're not waved together. So the Gemara asks why. Here it's clear about a toida the loy huskuku zelo zevetznufa. What about a toida where they don't have to be waved together? You wave the chos of a shirt of a toida. You wave since a toida is a type of shlomim. You wave the breast and thigh of the animal before they give them to the kohen. But you don't have any concept by a toida where you have to wave any part of the toida together with the bread that you're giving to the kohen. So you don't have tznufa together, or mekadsho ma'akva, and yet, as we've been talking about on Amud Aleph, the shechting of the Torah makes the bread kodesh, and it's ma'akiv, because we said if you don't have the bread, then you don't have a proper Torah, and vice versa. So we see that two things don't have to be waved together in order to be ma'akiv. So why? Only the Shalmei Tzibur are waved with the Shtei Alechem, but why should that mean that all the other ones that come with the Shtei Alechem, after all, why should they be excluded and something that happens with them, or them not even being available at all, doesn't affect the Shtei Alechem at all? So the Gemara says, you're right, that's not a valid explanation. Ella, rather, the reason is ketoida. We are going to draw an analogy with a toida. Ma toida shlomim, atochanami shlomim. Because a toida, we just said, is a type of shlomim. So then, and the Shalmei Tzibur are also a type of shlomim. So fine. We said it. Tosfos had pointed out on an Aleph, it is a different type of shlomim. It's a korban yochid versus korban sibur. It's korban sibur versus korban yochid. It's kodshim kodshim rather than kodshim kalim. But nevertheless, it is still called shlomim. And therefore, if we're going to draw an analogy, we would say that which korbanos of the ones that come with the shteh lechem are going to be ma'akiv it is the ones that are themselves a type of shlomim, not the seven kvasim and so on and so forth, which are all oilus. So the Moses midomi, fine, but how do you compare it? A hosam lekas vachem achrini b'hadei. The fact is, with the Torah, you don't have any other korbanos with it. You only have the one animal as a korban. Hacha the ikas vachem achrini b'hadei. But here you have a whole collection of korbanos that go along with it. With the shuhani v'hani. So all of them should be makadosh the bread, and all of them, any of them, if they're missing or we can't possible or whatever, should be ma'akiv the bread. Okay, we learned from a drasha. We said that the other ones are not ma'akiv if you don't have them at all. Fine, but at least you should. But at least we should say that if any of them become possible, then they're ma'akiv the bread. So why not? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella, fine, let's give a different reason. Ke'el nozer. Rather, let's draw an analogy between the shteh lechem and the accompanying kvasim with the ram that's brought as a shlomim by a nozer when he finishes his nazirus. And there you also have bread that comes together with that carbon. Ma'el nozer. Now, what do we see when it comes to his ram? Achagav de'ikas vachem achrini. Now, there are other korbanos as well. When a nozer is finished his nazirus, he brings three korbanos. An oila, a chatas, and a shlomim. And though, nevertheless, it's only the shlomim that's tied together with the bread. Shlomim hu demakadosh midyachrin aloy. Only when you shech the shlomim is it makadosh the bread, not the other two korbanos. Hochanami, lo shna, the same thing over here by the shteh lechem. It should be the same kind of thing. Just because you have other korbanos, doesn't matter. We're going to focus on the shlomim the same way as by a nozir. We focus on the shlomim. Okay. The Gemara says, good, that's a good answer. V'hosim menolan. Well then, fine. But where do we know by the nozer's korbanos itself that's the case, that it's only the shlomim that creates the kedusha in the bread that goes with it? And the answer is the Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa. The pasuk says, "V'asa ayo yasal zevach shlomim Hashem al salamatzes." He should bring the ram as a korban shlomim to Hashem together with the basket of matzahs. Melamed shasal b'choy v'la'ayil, that teaches us that the basket of matzahs comes as a requirement together with the ayil, specifically together with this ram, which is brought to the shlomim for the nozer, or shchitas ayil makadshan, and that it's specifically the shechting of the ram that makes them holy. L'fichach, and because of that, shachta shalo v'shmoy lo kidshu alachem. Therefore, if you were to shech the ram of the okay, if you were to shech the ram of the nozer, not the shaloi l'shmoi. Now it's a shlomim, as we learned back in Zvachim, a shlomim that was shechted shaloi l'shmoi doesn't become posel. It's still a kosher korban. Nevertheless, it still doesn't have its status as a shlomim. Like kidshay lechem, therefore the bread does not become holy. In fact, Tosfos points out, I mean, the Braisa could have phrased it the other way around. When you shech them l'shmoi, the bread does become holy. But the point is, in other words, even if the other two korbanos of the nazir were shechted in the shlon, it doesn't help the bread, and the bread is still possible. The bread does not become crumbled. So therefore we see when it says zevach shlomim Hashem al salamatzes means the shechting of the korban has to be zevach means zvicha meaning shechting has to be the shem shlomim, and that makes al salamatzes, that makes that now that basket of matzahs becomes holy. So therefore, that's where we learn that's the case by the El Nozer. The other two korbanos don't matter. Don't make a difference as far as the kedusha of the bread that comes with it. And so from there we can learn from there to the Shalmei Tzibur of Shavuos that the same kind of thing is the case, and that all the other korbanos that are brought with it don't make a difference one way or the other. If there's a psul in any of the other korbanos, it doesn't affect the shteh lechem. Only if there's a psul in the shalmei tzibi. Okay. The Gemara says tana rabbanan. So let's get back to this matter of we talked about what happens if you have one. So all this time we've been talking about what happens when you did have the two of them, and the fact that it makes a zika, and the fact that now if one of them becomes posel, then the other one's posel. But now again, we did learn in the Mishnah that it's possible to have one of them without the other, according to the different opinions. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's possible to have lechem without kvasim, and according to Ben Nanas, it's possible to have kvasim without lechem. Well, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa, shteya lechem aboris b'fnei atzman, when the shteya lechem are brought by themselves, without the kvasim, following Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Later on in the sect, actually, Rashi explains there can also be a case a person individually gives the shteya lechem as an adava and even bring klosim with it. Anyway, yunsul, we weigh them because the purpose of the shteya lechem is the shteya lechem are brought as a korban. One thing they accomplish, as we're going to learn later in the Masechta, is that once the shteya lechem are brought, then you're allowed to use new grain crop to bring for benachas of you. You have like this, the new grain crop that took root before the 16th of Nisan, before the second day of Pesach, it becomes mutter to eat when you bring the korban to Oymer. We're going to learn about that in more detail later in the Masechta, in the sixth Perek. Meanwhile, that new grain crop is not supposed to be used for menachos until Shavuos. Comes Shavuos, then it becomes mutter to use. Even before that, yeah, then it's kosher. But lachatchila, you're not supposed to bring it until Shavuos, until the shteya lechem. So now you have shteya lechem without kvasim. You still weigh them. So and that accomplishes that now the new grain crop is mutter for menachos. However, they have to be left until their form changes, which means they have to be left over overnight. We've learned earlier in the Masechta, and we've learned in the Nizvachim, does that mean you have to actually leave them until they spoil, or does it just mean that you have to leave them overnight, and then they don't look so fresh anymore, and then at that point, then they're puzzled. They became puzzled by lina because they were left overnight. The yates or the base safe, and then they're taken to the place of bruning. They're not bruned on the mizbeach. Well, they were. They would never go on the mizbeach in the first place because they're comets. But they're taken to the place where puzzled or kodshim are bruned. We learned about in the Sefer Zvachim near the end that there was three different places in the that there were a couple of different places in the base mikdash complex where they would brune different puzzled or korbanos. So we don't eat them in short. So the one asks why. Manafshach. Either way you look at it, it seems to be inconsistent. Ilach ilach. If these shteya lechem are coming to be eaten, if they're mutter to be eaten by kohenim, lechlinu, then the kohenim should in fact be able to eat them. And if they're coming to be burnt, l'srufin l'alter, then we should burn them right away. Why would we need to leave them overnight until they change form or spoil or become possible by lina or however we understand ibritzura? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabba l'olam lachilas. In fact, they are brought and they were meant to be eaten. And the midaraisa, you would have been able to eat them even when you bring them without the kvasim. Tosfos points out, by the way, that you have the Gemara elsewhere talks about that even people maybe needs ibur tzura, but over here, since to begin with you're bringing it no without kvasim, then maybe you should be able to burn it right away. So the answer is Rabba says, in fact, midaraisa you would have been able to eat them. Gzeira, I will make it gzeira. Shemi is davin lahem kvasim l'shana haba. The next year, this year they brought the shteya lechem without kvasim because they didn't have. But next year they might get a hold of kvasim. The yomru and the koyim are going to say, "Ashtakad loyachalnu lechem loy kvasim." Didn't we last year eat the shteya lechem without having the kvasim to make them mutter? Therefore, they're going to think they're not interdependent at all. Achshav nami nechol. They're going to think that now also we should be able to eat them without the. We should be able to eat them without bringing the kvasim. The inu lo yadi. Now, meanwhile, they're not going to realize there's a key difference. Deshtakad lo yavu kvasim. Last year there were no. They're not going to forget that last year there were no kvasim. Inu shariyan nafshayu, and therefore the shteya lechem themselves made themselves mutter. Once you wave them, and there's nothing further you do with them because you don't offer any of them on the mizbeach, then at that point it became mutter. Hashtu the ikad kvasim of sharalu. But now that we have kvasim this year, then it takes the kvasim in order to make them mutter. They're not going to realize that. And therefore, they're not going to realize that distinction, and therefore we have to make a gzera that we shouldn't eat these shteya lechem that are brought without kvasim, rather we should burn them. So what Rabbeinu Gershom explains, basically, the gzera is they might stop bringing the kvasim altogether, that Rambam also understands, in other words, that they may think we don't need the kvasim as well. Other Mephoshim, the Spasemes and some other Achronim talk about that they will be brought with the Kvasim, but they're not going to realize that they have to wait to eat the Shteya Lechem until until the blood of the kvasim was sprinkled, they're going to think that they're going to think they can eat them right away. And then the Sfasemis goes on to say, what about, for example, next year they might bring kvasim, but the blood will become pusil or something will happen to it or whatever, and then you're not going to be able to eat. And then the fact is, you're not going to be able to eat the shtei lechem because it's only the zrika that makes them mutter, and the people are not going to realize that, and they're going to think that last year we ate them without any zrika at all, and this year it's not necessary. Okay, so therefore, select the reason, select the Zera, says Rabba. Omer Rabba Menor Minala. So Rabba says, where do I get this kind of idea that we should make sure that we should make that the Shtei Alechem are in fact kosher to eat Daraisa even when there's no Kvasim, and the only reason why we're not and why we're saying they have to be burnt is Midrabbanan, and once we do, then that automatically explains why we need Hebrew Tzura, because the general rule is when something is possible, when something has psul haguf, when it has a psul in it itself, then we can burn it right away. When it's only a psul because of a side thing, then we have to wait till the next day. Here, where it's only here where Rabbi is saying it, because they did have bonon, then therefore we have to leave it over for the next day. But Rabbi says, where am I getting all that from? So it's not. We learn in the Mishnah in the Masechta Shkolim. We learned this earlier in the Masechta as well. Omer of Yehuda, Hayyad ben Bukhri b'Yavne. Ben Bukhri, that was his name, he was a Koyan, gave Eidos in Yavne in front of the Chachamim. Any Koyan who brings Machzah Shekel is not there by sinning. In other words, this Ben Bukhri held that Koyanim are in fact potter from Machzah Shekel. Nevertheless, he says, if they bring Machzah Shekel, and the Machzah Shekel is going to be used to bring to buy the public korbanos, nevertheless, there's no problem with it. And they're not sinning because when they give Machzah Shekel, they're fully giving it over to the Tzibur. And therefore, it would be like any other donation to the Beis Mikdash, which is perfectly fine for them to bring. Omaloi Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai, but Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai answers, Ben Bukhri, loy chi, no, it's not so. You have it backwards. Ela kol koyen she'ena shoyko choyte. On the contrary, the way you should formulate the rule, you're saying any koyen who does Matzah Shekel is not sinning. No, the rule should rather be the other way around. Any koyen who is not bringing a Matzah Shekel is sinning. He's violating what the Torah says, that he has to bring Matzah Shekel. We learned earlier, Rashi brings over here, we learned earlier in the Masechta that the underlying machlokas is based on when the Pasuk says, Parshas Shkalim, Chola Oyva Alap Kodim, anybody who passes through the Pekodim, so what does that mean? Who was in his chayiv and Matzah Shekel? So one way of understanding it is it means anybody who was counted together with the rest of the Jewish people, which therefore would exclude Koyanim and also Levim. It can also mean anyone kolah over, anybody who violated the Torah in the matter of the Eagle, which again the Koyanim and Levim did not, as the rest of the Shvatim did. The other way of looking at it, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai answers no. Kolah over alaf kodim means all those who passed through the Yamsul, Koyanim and Levim did as well. So on the contrary, and there's also the point that when it says Zeh Yitznu, the word Zeh is Gematria 12, meaning that all the Yerushalmi on this mission explains that it means that all 12 Shvatim are equally chayiv in Machzah Shekel. So Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai explains, Ella, so how did your mistake come about, Ben Bukhri? What makes you think Koyanim are potter for Machzah Shekel? Ella Shah Koyanim Doshin Mikra Zalatlan. The Koyanim, though, Darshan, the following Pasuk for their benefit, and they understand it in a way that implies that they're potter for Machzah Shekel. Tosfos, by the way, talks about earlier in the Masechta when we first quoted this Mishnah, that the fact that Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai says the Koyanim Darshan implies maybe that he himself was not a Koyan, even though there are other sources that suggest that maybe he was. In any case, so the Koyanim Darshan as follows. They say the Pasuk says V'chol Minchas Koyan Kol Tiyolosachol. Any mincha brought by a Koyan is completely burned. We don't eat it, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. When a Koyan, we'll learn in more detail later in the Masechta as well. When a Koyan brings a mincha, a voluntary mincha, you don't take a koimetz from it and burn it on the mizbeach, and the koyanim eat the rest. Rather, the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach. So the koyanim took the view. Well, if we give matzah shekel, then it comes out that some of the money that was used to buy the barley for the omer and the wheat for the shtei lechem and the wheat for the lechem upon him shalonu hein is all going to be ours because they were bought with matzah shekel that we brought. And you have to ask, Heyach Ne'acholin, how would we be allowed to eat them, given that they were mincha of Koyanim? Obviously, therefore, these Koyanim, including Ben Bukhri, said, obviously, therefore, it must be Koyanim, a potter for Matzah Shekel. However, if they want to bring Matzah Shekel, fine, then they're giving it over fully to the Tzibur, and then there's no problem. But Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai is saying, no, that's not a valid drasha. Because that whole concept applies only to a korban yochid. It doesn't apply to a korban sibur, because after all, most of those, Rashi explained elsewhere, most of those who are contributing the matzah shekel are Yisraelim, and therefore we can go according to the goy, and therefore we don't care that there's a miut of koyanim who contributed towards it. Now, the point is, says Rabba, here's my proof that you have a case where you can eat shtei lechem midaraisa even without bringing them with the crossing. Chani shtei lechem heichidomi. What is the scenario? What is the scenario involving the shtei lechem? Do we mean the regular way where the shtei lechem are brought together with the shnei krosim? So what's the problem? What would Ben Bukhri's argument be that therefore that you couldn't eat those shtei lechem if some of the contributions to them came from a kohen? Or to toidah lechem, consider, says Rabba, if a kohen brings a korban toidah and together with it he brings the 40 loaves of bread, milo minadvi kohenim va'achli lehu, can't the kohenim equally well bring a korban toidah and they can eat the lechem? So obviously, even though that lechem that comes together with the toidah is considered a kind of, it's considered a kind of mincha, it's certainly not in the category of a mincha of a kohen. It's completely different. So the same thing, but a shtei lechem, what would Ben Bruchri's and his fellow kohenim's argument be? Because the shtei lechem are considered a mincha, if they were brought by kohenim, how could we eat them? It would be no different than the bread of a toidah, which is eaten even when it's brought by a kohen. El alav, the boys with Natsman. Therefore, Rabba says, obviously, the argument in that Mishnah must be about the case where the shtei lechem are brought by themselves without a korban. And Ben Bukhri's argument, which Rabbi Yechon and Zakeh slogs up, is that if we brought them with money of from Kohenim, how would we be able to eat them? Implying Amalak Yelassian. So evidently, we're talking about something which is meant to be brought and eaten. And therefore, Ben Bukhri's argument is, when there's no Boston with them, then they're exactly like a mitzvah, and yet we see that the Kohenim can eat them, and therefore that shows that Kohenim can't contribute towards them, whereas Rabbi Yechon and Zakeh argues that and says, no, that's the difference between a korban of a yochid and a sibuk. So therefore, says Rabbi, you see from that there's a case where shtei lechem are brought by themselves, and yet they can be eaten on a d'oraisa level, and that explains Ben Bukhri's and Rabbi Yechon and Zakeh's argument. However, Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says no, not necessarily. In fact, the Mishnah in Shkolim could be talking about where the shtei lechem are brought together with the korban. Now you're asking in that case, why should it be any different than a toda and its bread, where a korban brings a toda and together with it the bread, and nobody ever had any problem with the bread being, we don't call it a minchas toyan. The difference is lachmi toda, lo yikul mincha. The difference is the bread with a toda is not called a mincha. It is a grain korban, and we're going to discuss it in our mesechta later in our mesechta. We're going to talk about the dinim of it in detail, but nevertheless, the fact is the Torah never actually calls it by the word mincha. Shtei lechem, ikru mincha. But says Abaye, the shtei lechem are called a mincha. Shenema ba'akribchem mincha chadash al Hashem. The pasuk describes it when you offer a new mincha to Hashem. So therefore, Ben Bukhri and company figured that it would be included even when it is brought together with the kvasim. So there's no proof really from that Mishnah, says Abaya, that the shtei lechem, if they were brought by themselves without kvasim, that you could have eaten them, and therefore we're back to the question, why should we say that on the one hand we're not eating them, but on the other hand we can't burn them right away, we eat ibur tzura, we have to leave them overnight. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yosef, Amar, Rabbi Yosef gives a different answer. In fact, we can answer when the shtei lechem are brought without the kvasim, they do have to be burnt. There's no possibility even on a d'oraisa level of eating them. Behind the time of the stuff in, but you know why? We can't burn it right away. Why do we have to leave them until the next day? Very simple. If you shame surfing, kodshim be yomtiv, because you can't burn posel of kodshim on yomtiv. The Gemara elsewhere learns it. On a plastic about the korban pesach, that when the korban pesach becomes possible by noser, you have to leave it over until after yomtiv. So the same thing over here, you can't burn it, you can't burn it on yomtiv. But Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says, me dummy, yeah, but how are you comparing it? Possum lav mitzvah in the tach. When it comes to other kodshim that became possum, that wasn't the main mitzvah. That was meant to be eat. It was left over as noiser, otherwise we can't possum. So therefore it has to be burned as a bidyevadika thing. So then you could say the Torah is telling us, don't do that on Yom Tov. Chacha, but over here, if the shtei lechem are brought by themselves, the mitzvah in the tach. Where if you're going to argue that d'oraisa, they're not meant to be eaten, that means d'oraisa, the proper mitzvah, is to burn it. Listen for you, we should be able to burn it on Yom Tov itself. After all, it would be no different than the par and sur of Yom Kippur, which are burnt on Yom Kippur itself. So the rule should be when it's meant to be burnt, then it can be burnt on Yom Tov. When it was not originally meant to be burnt, and just something happened afterwards, Noser or Pickle or what have you, then we would say you leave it over. Then we say you have to leave it over until after Yom Tov. Tosfos points out, for that matter, what the Gemara could have asked, why don't you burn them the night after Yom Tov? Why should we have to wait until the next day? Okay. So, no. Ela Omer Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef says, fine, you're right. The reason is, Zera Shami Yizdam, Elam Kvosim, La'acham Ikan. The problem is that after we wave the bread, we might then get a hold of Kvosim on that same day. So now, we don't want to go burn the bread right away. We want to give it a chance. Let's see if we can find some Kvosim today, and then we'll be able to wave them together with the bread, and then the bread will be able to eat. Omele Abaya, Abaya says, Tenach Kozman HaKrivosam. Fine, that takes care of the case where we should say then fine, during the day we won't burn these Shtei Alechem, these independent Shtei Alechem yet, because we might still find Kvosim. But that would only apply during all the time when they can be offered. Lebosar Hochi, but eventually we get to the time after the Tomach Rabbeinu Abayim, at which point you can't bring any further korbanos after that, as the Gemara explains elsewhere, that the first korban of the day has to be the Tomach HaShachar, and the last one, with certain rare exception, is the Tomach HaBayin HaBayim, so the Bosa HaHochi was your Fino. Well then, after that time, after the Tomach HaBayin HaBayim is brought, if we didn't get a hold of Kvasim, then we should be able to burn the Shtei Alechem at that point, because at that point, even if we find Kvasim, it's going to be too late anyway. So you're right. The Gemara says, "My tu'ubot tsurosim nami dekatani." You know what? Actually, when we say tu'ubot tsurosim, it doesn't have the usual meaning of leaving it overnight until it spoils or until it becomes fossil. It just means tsurosakravasim. It just means the form of being able to offer them. Meaning, in other words, until, so you'll leave it until after the Tomach HaRabbeinu HaBayim, and at that point, you'll burn them, because at that point, it's going to be too late anyway. Tosfos actually has a different explanation, that, because b'dievet, Tosfos learns, if they didn't manage to get Kvasim until after the Tomach HaRabbeinu HaBayim, then they would, in fact, then they could, in fact, bring the Shtei Alechem and the Kvasim even at that point, because usually there's an essay not to bring out anything after the Tomach HaRabbeinu HaBayim, but the requirement to bring the Shtei Alechem would override that, so rather, so the Sakhar Vasan would mean until the night. So there comes the night time, then you would be allowed to burn them, says Rabbi Yosef. So Rava Amar, Rava gives a third explanation. In fact, let's go back to what Rava said, that when the Shtei Alechem are brought without Kvasim, they would have been meant to be eaten on a Daraisa level. So again, so far we had Rava saying they're meant to be eaten on a Daraisa level, and it's only Dirabbanan because we have a Gzera. Rav Yosef said even on Daraisa level they're not meant to be burned, but it's just not time to burn them yet, until, as we just said, until after the Tumah Shabbat Abayim according to Rashi, or nightfall according to Tosfos. But Rava says no, we're going to go back to what Rava said, that in fact they could have been eaten on a Daraisa level, Gzera. And in fact, the reason we don't is because of a Gzeira, similar to what Rabbah said, the Lav Mitaimei, but not using Rabbah's proof from the Mishnah, because we said that that's not really a proof. Ella Mikra. Rabbah says Rabbah, we actually have a Pasuk that tells us that in a case like this, you can't eat the Shtei. Namely, the Pasuk says, from your dwellings, meaning from some place in Eretz Yisrael, you should bring bread to be waved, and the Pasuk calls it Bikurim Hashem. That's Bikurim for Hashem. So therefore, Ma Bikurim B'fnei Atzmon, so we learn from that, just like Bikurim can be brought by themselves, because Bikurim don't necessarily have to have an accompanying korban. In practice, the Mishnah in Bikurim tells us that they would, when people would come, they would have a whole procession of people coming from a town to bring Bikurim, and they would bring along with them, and they would have the procession led by an ox, which afterward they would bring as a korban, and people would bring boots, which they would bring as korbanos. But in principle, Bikurim does not actually require a korban. After Shtei Alechem, both after Shtei Alechem but Ne'atzman, the same way the Shtei Alechem can be brought by themselves when there's no kvasim. But then in turn we're going to learn from that Ma Bikurim La'Achila, just like the Bikurim, that when they're brought by themselves are meant to be eaten by the Kohen. After Shtei Alechem Nami La'Achila, the same way the Shtei Alechem on a Daraisa level can be eaten. And it's only Dirabbanan that we shouldn't, when there's no kvasim because of the Gzeira that Rabbi mentioned, where again we have a couple of different explanations what that Gzeira is exactly, a Gzeira that in the future we might not bring kvasim at all, as Rabbeinu Gershom and the Rambam learned, or a Gzeira that we might bring kvasim, but we might not realize that we can't eat the Shtei Alechem until their blood is sprinkled according to the Sfas Emes.